conjunctivitis, there will be slight oozing and bleeding from the underlying conjunctiva. Whereas in pseudomembrane, it will be just like a mucus strands. You can remove it without any bleeding. The most common, as we said, in viral conjunctivitis is the adenoviral infection. Other viruses like Coxsackie virus and the coronaviruses. Adenoviral keratoconjunctivitis could be one of the most common type of or presentation of adenoviral conjunctivitis is the non-specific acute follicular conjunctivitis. This is the most common form. The other form, back to the previous slide, is the pharyngeal fever. It's caused usually by adenovirus type 3 and 7. Typically affect children and usually associated with upper respiratory tract infection. Keratitis could occur in 30% in patients and usually mild. The other type of adenoviral keratoconjunctivitis is the epidemic keratoconjunctivitis caused by adenovirus type 8 and 19. Very contagious, no systemic symptoms, and keratitis could occur in 80% of cases, and in the cases usually it could be very severe. The fourth type, it's the chronic or relapsing type of adenoviral conjunctivitis. This is rare, but it may present and it may last for months or even years. This is pictures of viral conjunctivitis, and we can see here them fine follicular reaction and acute watery discharge. And to the right side, we see them subconjunctival hemorrhage. It's unusual to see them subconjunctival hemorrhage, but the pseudomembranes in the fornix cell part of the conjunctiva. Treatment of viral conjunctivitis. As we said, most cases are self-limited disease, but definitely we have to treat symptoms if there is any like irritation with artificial eye drops. Antibiotics sometimes could be used if there is a bacterial conjunctivitis developed over the viral. And topically steroid may be used in corneal involvement. And definitely this is a very contagious infection, and good hygiene should be followed by using separate towels and washing hands from time to time, not to share the eye drops with others, and etc. Another type of viral conjunctivitis, it's the molossal contagiosum conjunctivitis. If you can see to them in the picture to them right, there is a small amplicated lesion. This is the source of the virus and the lesion, and it causes usually unilateral, if it is in one eye, unilateral follicular conjunctivitis. And we can see on the left side, there is a multiple lesions on the upper and the lower eyelids. Treatment in these cases, we have to remove the eyelid lesion, so with excision, and then we treat the symptoms with artificial eye drops. And if there is severe injection, we may use some mild steroid. Talking about herpes simplex conjunctivitis. This is just a picture of, to the right, the picture shows the follicles in the inferior fornix. And to the left side, we can see the crusted eyelids with few vesicles, mainly in the medial canthus. So this is just herpes simplex conjunctivitis without involvement of the cornea. And usually the treatment with topical antivirals like Zofras or Acyclovir. Talking about Scarnia neonatorum, any antibiotics within the first 4 weeks of life, it's a very serious disease. Here, conjunctival swab is mandatory to differentiate between the microorganism. Usually, if it is appear within the first 2 days, usually it's chemical cause behind it, and 3 to 5 days usually gonorrhea, and more than 5 days it's usually chlamydia. But we need to take a conjunctival swab for gram stain culture and sensitivity. This is just a picture of baby with, if you can see them, white discharge coming out from the eyelids. So it could be due to, as you say, bacterial conjunctivitis, and usually gram positive. Could be due to Neisseria gonorrhea, herpes simplex virus, chlamydia, and usually chlamydia causing chronic conjunctivitis, and it can complicate with corneal scar and even drop of vision or blindness. Treatment of ophthalmia neonatorum. Neisseria gonorrhea need topical and systemic penicillin. Herpes simplex virus treated usually with topical antiviral. And chlamydia, we can use topical tetracycline and systemic erythromycin. Chlamydia infection. Chlamydia is an obligate intracellular organism. And we said before it can present in three forms. And the first one is adult, including keratoconjunctivitis conjunctivitis. Second one is the trachoma. And the third one is the ophthalmia neonatorum. Adult, including keratoconjunctivitis, is a sexually transmitted disease, usually chronic, and present usually with hyperemia, mucopurulent follicular reaction. Could also cause a pannus formation. Pannus formation is a vascular opacification of the cornea, vascularized opacification of the cornea. So, and could cause, as we said, corneal vascularization and subepithelial scarring. This is pictures of adult chlamydial keratoconjunctivitis, and we can see the follicles in the left side, and we can see the limbal follicles on the right side of the picture. Diagnosis and treatment of adult including keratoconjunctivitis. There is different method to diagnose chlamydia. We mention here a few of them, like direct immunofluorescence to detect chlamydial antigens. Gibson stain also can be used to identify the inclusion bodies, and polymerase chain reaction also can be used. Treatment of adult inclusion keratoconjunctivitis is usually with the first line of treatment is azithromycin 1 gram, and this could be repeated 1 week after the first dose. Other options could be with topical and systemic tetracycline or erythromycin. Trachoma. This is considered the most or the commonest infective cause of blindness, transmitted by the housefly. Definitely poor hygiene, crowding in a dry hot climate is a risk factor. Usually present with recurrent subconjunctival fibrosis, due to the recurrent infection, and it can cause corneal scarring and blindness or drop of the vision. If we need to be more precise. Also, it can cause keratitis, trichiasis. Trichiasis is the abnormal posterior misdirection of the lashes. And treatment of trachoma in these cases also could be with topical and systemic tetracycline or erythromycin. Azithromycin is another alternative. Sometimes we need to interfere surgically to treat the trichiasis or the entropion, which usually cicatricial entropion. This is the just pictures of the trachoma, and you can see the follicle started with them up to the left. Okay, so it's acute follicular conjunctivitis. Then we can see the scarring, the white line on the upper eyelid conjunctiva, as we call it art line. And then there is the limbal follicles, which is we call it Herbert bits, and pannus formation down to the left, and down in the middle there is a trichiasis. As we said, it's just the abnormal posterior misdirection of the lashes, and down to the right there's a cicatricial entropion. So due to the recurrent infection and the scarring on the inner part of the eyelid, it will pull the eyelid margin inward toward the eye. So this is the cicatricial entropion. If we move now to talk about the allergic conjunctivitis, allergic conjunctivitis could be acute, the hay fever or seasonal type. It's usually acute IgE mediated reaction, and presentation usually with itching, conjunctival injection, eyelid swelling, lacrimation, and sometimes associated with rhinitis. This is the fine papillary reaction seen usually in allergic conjunctivitis. The other type of allergic conjunctivitis is the vernal or spring catarrh, which is it's a seasonal disease, but it may present all over the year and usually chronic intractable disease, and again it's an IgE mediated allergic reaction, usually associated with history of atopy like eczema and bronchial asthma. It could be divided in three types: the vernal catarrh, palpebral, limbal, or mixed. Mixed, it's we find the signs on the palpebral type of the conjunctiva and on the limbus also. So it's the three types disease. Symptoms again, it's itching, photophobia, lacrimation, foreign body sensation. So signs of vernal catarrh depend, as we said, on the type of them. Vernal catarrh, is it palpebral, limbal, or mixed? So some of these signs could be the papillary conjunctivitis, giant papillary reaction, limbal conjunctival papillae, or what we call it Horner transverse dots, and punctate corneal lesions. Sometimes it's progressed to cause plaques and chilled corneal ulcer, and also can cause subepithelial corneal scars. We have to remember here that the vernal catarrh could progress to or could cause, due to the frequent rubbing of the eye, to keratoconus, which is, as you know, the keratoconus, it's one of the corneal ectasia, the corneal makhrouqiyya. We'll talk about it in corneal disease. This is again a picture of giant papillae, and usually these papillae are separated by septal tissue between them, and it's a sign, as you said, of vernal conjunctivitis. This is the Honor Transverse Dots. Treatment of allergic conjunctivitis in general, okay. Usually you start using them with antihistamines and another topical medication is the muscle stabilizer like sodium chromoglycate, rituximide, and there is another type of the eye drops which is working in two mechanisms as antihistamine and muscle stabilizer like olopatadine. Usually in these cases we need a very mild steroid in the early stage of the treatment, and then we can stop the steroid and continue on the antihistamine or the muscle stabilizer. In severe cases, we may use also the mucolytics like acetylcysteine to dissolve the corneal plaque, and as you said, sometimes surgery may be required in very severe cases. Another form of allergic conjunctivitis is the contact lens induced conjunctivitis. Again, it causes usually a giant papillary reaction with mucoid discharge, and it could respond to mild steroid with antihistamine or muscle stabilizer, but sometimes or may need to stop the contact lens use either temporary or permanently. Speaking about conjunctival degenerations, pterygium, pterygium here, الظفرة, okay. It's, if we describe it, it's a triangular fibrovascular membrane invading or originating from the conjunctival side, invading the limbus into the cornea. And usually it's due to the solar elastosis of the conjunctival collagen and epithelial degeneration due to UV light exposure. So the epithelium is directed toward the cornea and it may cause sometimes redness and discomfort. And in advanced cases, we need to remove it because it will affect the visual axis and it sometimes cause astigmatism and we have to remove it. Other cause for surgical intervention is unacceptable cosmetic appearance of the eye. This is the pterygium. As we say, this is triangular fibrovascular tissue and it appears as encroaching into the cornea, invading the cornea, even the visual axis. Binginculum, it's another type of or a mild type of conjunctival epithelial degeneration and solar elastosis of the conjunctival collagen. So it's the mild form of the pterygium, the same underlying pathogens. So it's very small, yellowish, elevated lesion, usually on the limbus, on the nasal part of the limbus. And it's never impinge or encroach over the cornea. Usually we don't have to treat these cases unless it's injected and causing like foreign body sensation or irritation. So this is the binginculum and you can see the small yellowish elevated paralimbal area. Talking about conjunctival tumors, we'll just concentrate on two types, the most common two types, at least two, that you can have an idea. You know, malignancy could be present on the ocular surface. So the most common common types are the squamous cell carcinoma and the malignant melanoma. Sometimes it's very difficult to differentiate these malignant lesions from the more benign lesions like nevus or melanosis. So definitely in early stages, we may just observe these lesions for any change in the color or the size or any change in the vascularity. But if we suspect this is could be a malignant lesion, definitely we need to have a biopsy to differentiate between the benign and malignant cases. Treatment options for these malignant cases is a very wide. So it could include just excision with cryotherapy of the margin and sometimes mitomycin to the margin of the lesion. And sometimes we need to use radiotherapy and even excentration. We have to remove the whole, let's say, orbital content, including the sometimes the eyelids and the eye, the conjunctiva, the globe, the whole globe, and the muscles, the extraocular muscles. So this is the range of the modalities or the treatment that are available for these malignant lesions. So this is form of the squamous cell carcinoma, and you can see the vascularized lesion on the limbal area, invading even into the cornea. The second one is the malignant melanoma, and so any abnormal lesion on the surface of the eye should be taken carefully. Thank you for your attention. This is a I hope this will be enough regarding the conjunctival diseases. I don't know if we can have a few questions now before moving to the second seminar or lecture.